Now, the Music Biz Weekly presents the Rockstar Branding Podcast. Turn your band into a world-famous brand with advice from Brian Thompson, Michael Brandbold, and Steve Jones.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Rockstar Branding Podcast. This is episode number 21, and we've decided to title this one, Growing Into Your Brand. As always, first of all, hey, I'm Brian Thompson. I'm from Thorny Bleeder and the DIY Daily. And as always, I have Steve Jones, author of Brand Like a Rockstar, and I have Michael Brandvold from Michael Brandvold Marketing. Guys, how are you?
Wonderful, man. Good to talk to you guys again.
Yeah, definitely. So this is going to be kind of a little, I don't know. I kind of look at this as a fun little discussion. So a few days ago,
compared to the entirely unfun ones we've had so far.
They're all fun. Come on.
I saw a photo on Facebook a few days ago that really kind of hit me, and it was a photo of ZZ Top. It was one of these then and now photos. On the left side, it was a photo of ZZ Top, probably when they were first formed. I don't know, 69, sometime around then, looking like a bunch of real young music geeks.
they're sitting on like what looks like, I don't know, a wooden pallet that's been carpeted with
the church or something like that,
with some drapes and the smallest little disco ball hanging in the background.
It looks sort of like a high school band photo. You know,
it
guys
does,
are
does. And only out of high school. Only one guy has a beard, and it's compared to this is probably when he first started growing it. So it's probably what, 2 inches long compared to what they've got now.
Yeah, it's like a month old.
So, and then the photo on the right is a current photo of ZZ Top, and there's a caption on this, and it says, "Trust us, you'll develop your band's image eventually too." And it was just like, wow, that is really kind of a good statement about how brands, you grow into your brand, how, you know, it develops with you. It's not something that in 1969 ZZ Top set out to say, this is what our brand is.
Yeah, and I think when it does, if it does happen like literally overnight, that is a very, very, very rare thing. And now musically, you can see how natural their evolution was because, you know, they've always had that blues based kind of swagger to them. And they still have that now, even though they've gotten admittedly like much dirtier and heavier. But when you take a look at their image and how they present themselves, it's changed considerably. But of course, who hasn't since 1969?
Well, yeah, I mean, the band in 1969 is not drawing the groupies.
Well, it's interesting how over time what would be an acceptable band photo obviously changes. Those guys look ridiculous by our standards today, but I'm sure back in 1969 they went, hey, what a great shot of our new band.
Well, you can imagine it was probably like you said, a high school band show, and they're just getting ready to play, and someone's like, hey, we need a band photo. Who's got the Instamatic?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Hey,
do you know anyone that has a camera?
You know, I was thinking about, as I look at that picture of ZZ Top, it reminded me of the recent Rush biography on TV.
The movie. Yes. They had very similar photos.
They did. And the cool thing about Rush is that they also grew into their band. The original incarnation of Rush without drummer Neil Peart wasn't sort of a mystical heavy metal band that lived in that Game of Thrones sort of world, you know? I mean, the original Rush was like a Zeppelin clone.
Right.
And they only grew into their image as their image grew with them, you know? They developed that sort of, I don't know what you'd call it, that articulate hard rock image over the course of time. And it looks like ZZ Top sort of did the same thing. I mean, maybe musically. I don't know what they sounded like in 1969 when that picture was taken. But musically, they may have evolved equally as they did in terms of their visual image.
Well, you know, Steve, you actually use another example of a band that kind of evolved into their image in your book. Kiss.
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
They started as a band called Wicked Lester that, for all apparent purposes, looks like a Jethro Tull band. No makeup, flowery puffy shirts.
I didn't hear any of their music, but I did hear one song. But there's one song on, it's easily accessible on YouTube by Wicked Lester. But from what I heard of the band, they had no musical focus. I mean, they played a lot of folky rock stuff that would have been popular in the early 70s, but they weren't a hard rock band necessarily, although they probably had some hard rock influences. Their visual image and their musical image came together at the same time.
Right.
Yeah, I think the main thing that we're trying to reassure people is that brands don't happen overnight. As much as we, you know, wish that we could create something out of thin air and all decide, okay, this is what it is and this is who it's going to be and blah, 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 this is what we're going to represent. But really, ultimately, it's through trial and error and finding out what works, what doesn't, and finding out what connects with people, and also
just your life influences.
Totally. And it's also, you know, what the crowd, the fan base also plays a huge part in developing the brand too.
We look at powerful brands like Apple and think, well, that brand was just so meticulously developed, and to a degree they were. But you can go back over the course of Apple and look at plenty of massive failures, product launches that failed, marketing campaigns that failed. Even in their recent years, some of the early iPod advertising, when you look back at it and go, wow, that does not feel like the band or the brand feels today. They've evolved, yet we hold them up today as an absolutely excellent example of powerful branding. There's plenty of examples like that of companies that have done exactly the same thing. Over time, they've changed with the times in certain ways. They've told their story differently, and they've evolved their visual image. And same with music, right?
Totally.
Yeah, you can't be afraid to change.
And with, you know, in the case of Apple, really, they've only had that image that we know of them now, they've only had it for a decade. I mean, of course, yeah, they were very successful prior, but they didn't have that same connection with culture that they do today. They're not that same company that everybody, you just see the logo, well, and you have an instant feeling associated with it.
Well, it was exactly a decade ago that Apple stopped being a computer company and became a technology company when they released the iPod. And that was the moment where Apple stopped being Apple Computers and became just plain Apple. And that definitely changed them forever.
Yeah. So yeah, brands now, don't
ZZ Top. ZZ Top made their own brand change too in the 80s, and when they discovered the synthesizer and went from being ZZ Top, the hardcore blues band, into ZZ Top, the blues band that played a lot of pop rock with synthesizers in it.
I think many bands discovered that in the 80s.
Well, right.
And also, I think MTV really helped change their brand as well.
Well, that's a good point. Maybe that's a discussion we could go down another show on, is that the means available to you can sometimes dictate what it is you are. I mean, back in the 80s, it was MTV, and you had to conform to that or be forgotten. So that meant cultivating a visual image that you otherwise wouldn't have had. And you see artists like ZZ Top, who remarkably evolved from this gritty band into this very pop band. You see a guy like David Bowie, who had always been about image, but suddenly became, he went through that Let's Dance Modern Love phase, where he became this very suave sort of guy, you know? Duran Duran, a band that was entirely cultivated on visual image. And now today we don't have that anymore, but we have social media. We have Twitter and Facebook and other means by which bands can build their image, and the means available to them will help dictate what it is they become.
Totally. Totally.
That's pretty deep, I realize. Sorry.
You just took the fun out of this.
Well, you can count on me for that.
We're all reflecting on Steve's brilliant words.
Steve, you've got us thinking. It's like, oh my God, the teacher just talked to us. What are we supposed to
do? Sorry about that. I gave myself a headache there. I shouldn't have ever gone that cerebral on a rock and roll podcast.
A branding brain freeze.
Well, that's good, guys. It's an interesting perspective that you can put all the effort you want into what you are now. And I think it is good that the bands put effort and thought into what they are and how they're perceived. I think that's very important and often, far too often, overlooked. But it's worth noting that nothing is permanent. You can evolve, you can change. Every state is temporary. Every hit song is only a few minutes long, and then that song changes too, right? I mean, we live in a world of constant change, and your brand should evolve and grow and possibly, in the case of ZZ Top, visually improve over time.
Well, we can only hope that we visually improve over time, but some of us...
I don't know. I keep getting better looking. I look in the mirror every day, and I'm just amazed.
You keep telling this yourself is the every best morning, I've... I look better, I look better, I look better.
This is the best I've ever looked.
Yep, just ask me. I'm hot.
What an ego.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's close this one off. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Rockstar Branding Podcast. We'll see you again next week.
See you, boys.
Thanks, everyone.